I'm very happy now to welcome Gina Brenneman. She is curator of the exhibition Orale, Kings and Queens of Cool, which opens this weekend, this Saturday, at the Harwood Museum. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
So this show looks at West Coast so-called lowbrow art, as well as work from New Mexico. What does lowbrow mean? Do those highbrow, lowbrow distinctions still exist?
That is exactly the question that we want people to ask themselves when they come to the show. And we don't want to answer it for them. So you asked the right question.
Well, how do you think about it?
How do I personally think about it?
Yeah.
I think about it personally in a way that may be not completely acceptable to everyone. I just closed off a contemporary gallery as a permanent gallery because I think contemporary art is over with and that we are in a new era, you know, like the moderns were of the day then and they're not now. And contemporary, I think, is of the day too, and it's also past. So I think what's being called now is, it's gone through a lot of different names, but it's being called post-pop by a lot of people now. And I think that's just a section of what's next after contemporary. I don't think this is what's next after contemporary. I think it's part of what's next after contemporary, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what's interesting, I haven't seen the show yet, but I've been looking at the catalog, and it seems to have a set of aesthetics, including the importance of the car. Why
right.
is the automobile so iconic? How's it represented in the show?
It's the heartbeat of the show, probably. And I've had a piece that's been my mantra the whole 2.5 years we've been putting it together. It's by Douglas Johnson. It's called Santo Chevy. And it's northern New Mexico folk kneeling in front of a Chevy that's on an altar. So that plays heavily into the exhibit, is the car culture and northern New Mexico.
Along with the car, we have religion, sex, and death, basically primal human experiences, and they're all expressed in this pop culture visual language, or maybe post-pop, as you put it. Talk more about that.
This show is unapologetic. And every one of the artists in this show is unapologetic. And there is a huge amount of honesty and humor and tons of dark humor. So all those things you mentioned are part of this exhibit, to be sure. And some of it is very confrontational. And I guess, you know, it feels confrontational when you're really honest.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about sex and death and cars and big, colorful language. And it's interesting to me that you used the word unapologetic. What would anybody have to apologize for?
Well, I think that you have to come and see the show to be able to understand why I would say that. A lot of art that is this blue chip or highbrow is relatively safe, if not entirely safe. You can confront issues that are primal, like you said, on your own if you're looking at blue chip or highbrow art, but not very much of it really slams it in your face. And this art and these artists, I say, are unapologetic because they really do. They really do. Some of it is very hard to look at.
I sometimes wonder if that idea of safe and unsafe is associated with how old it is. I mean, I think Goya probably wasn't safe in his time, but he's safe now because it's centuries ago.
I love it that you brought that up. That is the bottom line. Yes, you're right. I asked a friend this is a huge dialogue that's been going on between everybody involved. Just, you know, you can't help but get in conversations and have interesting dialogue. And where did it all come from? Where did it start? And, you know, some people go to Von Dutch, which is probably where I'd go. But one person has actually gone back to Caravaggio and the painting of Doubting Thomas, where he's poking Christ. And the expression on Christ's face and the expression on Doubting Thomas's face and the fact that Caravaggio was, you know, in a murderer and jailed and just kind of, you know, you can take it all the way back. You can take it all the way back if you want to. But really, Von Dutch was in The Flying Eyeball, really set it on fire, the from the streets kind of thing.
It's interesting also, and I think a show like this can really be fodder for discussion among the people who go there, which is, I mean, it's pretty hard to shock anybody now. Like, every shocking thing seems to have already been done in some way, and shock value doesn't have the value that it used to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so when there's big in your face art happening, it's not about shock anymore.
No, this isn't about shock. It's about regionalism.
So the regions we're talking about are basically West Coast and New Mexico.
Yeah, what has happened in Taos is this, it's really, really fascinating, this influx of highly educated, wealthy, well-traveled Anglo people from the East Coast that filtered into Taos by way of the Taos founders and Mabel Dodge Lujan for the moderns. Then I think I've traced it back probably, this could be argued, but I think that the West Coast started infiltrating when Robert Dean Stockwell played in the movie Sons and Lovers. And that kind of brought a West Coast insurgence. You know, Dennis Hopper and Dean Stockwell were the two Hollywood people, but there were artists that came along with that, maybe before, maybe during, maybe after, I don't know, but Ken Price and Ron Cooper and Larry Bell, Ronald Davis, you know, that tribe. And along with them came a tribe that has been completely, I shouldn't say completely, but really seriously ignored in the museum world. And they are the ones that are underground and from the streets, and they tie in heavily to the underground, from the streets, New Mexico artists, northern New Mexico artists, whose canvases are not purchased at art supply shops. They're on whatever canvases they can find. So we see, you know, the car, and we see flesh, and we see unusual medium, I mean, really highly unusual medium, because they're using what they have as part of their culture and part of what's available to them financially.
So when we talk about underground art, like the art that's in this show, what is the original context for it? I mean, if it's not made for gallery and museums, is it made for another market? Is it made for its own sake?
That's another great question. That's a great question. It is made because of the same reason you'll never get rid of art. It's because you just can't stop yourself from doing it if you're an artist. I mean, these people are just, you just can't stop them from creating. And I love the lowrider angle because it's such a statement about pride and cultural pride. And so the context is that there's no context. It's just creative spirit and creative drive. Most of the artists, not all of them, some of them have, actually a good portion of the artists in this show have reached kind of highbrow status and are collected by major museums and shown by major galleries. It's gotten to the point where probably 10% to 15% of this are marketable and commercial. We've got some really, really important work here. So it has gotten into that realm. But most of it is created just because, you know, a creative person, you just can't stop. It's like a dandelion growing through a crack in the sidewalk. You can't get rid of it. So I do too. That's really, really meaningful to me because it's really about regionalism and creativity and cultural pride.
So the opening of the show, Orale, Kings and Queens of Cool, is at the Harwood Museum in Taos this Saturday from 4 to 7, and it's all kinds of things. It's a block party. It's a car show.
Yes. We have a fantastic museum educator here who has, and public programs director who's put together just a party. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's just a big straight party, block party. And it does include a car show, and it includes bands, live music, and people on stilts and from Puñasco, and a glam, trash, fashion runway show, and some spectacular opportunities to meet the artists, lot of them coming from Los Angeles. The people who set this world on fire are coming in from Los Angeles. We'll have Billy Shire here giving talks, and Greg Escalante, and both of them are involved in the Juxtaposed magazine, which kind of represents these artists. And it's actually, interestingly, the most circulated art publication. It beats even Art Forum and Art News and Art in America in terms of circulation. So there's a huge following, but they're not museum people.
Well, it sounds fantastic. People can find out more information by going to harwoodmuseum.org. Gina Brenneman is the curator of the exhibition Orale, Kings and Queens of Cool. It runs until January 25th. Gina Brenneman, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.